You know, the beauty of doing the podcast at home is that this usually happens around the time where the kids need to go hop in the shower and they refuse to stop watching The Simpsons. And if you listen very, very closely, guys, you will hear Kelly yelling at them to go shower. Do you hear that?
I didn't know if that was Kelly or my wife doing the same thing with
mine. Yeah. This is the stay-at-home life at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot.
I'm not going to say that I envy either one of your situations.
Yeah. Probably for the best. I wondered why that Takate light sleeve went by so quickly.
This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 999 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eshbaugh and Wayne Holt from 919 Beer. We will be joined by Jay and Jeremy Bond from Bond Brothers and Kerry. They got two very, very cool things going on right now that help the local craft beer community. One is a physical drive-up at their place in Kerry. The other is a new app that will allow for drivers to deliver beer from certain breweries that decide to sign up. In the meantime, I have to admit that I had to take a break from craft beer over the weekend, guys. I cleansed the palate with nothing but Mexican beer starting on Saturday, and I continued up until this podcast recording.
Crappy Mexican beer.
No, not crappy Mexican beer.
Just you said Tecate Light, man. That's some rough stuff.
You can't go there.
What's wrong with Tecate Light?
I've got Tecate, Modelo, and Corona. But it's Corona Extra. It's not that light. No, can't do that.
But here's my thing.
I think Tecate Light's one of the worst beers I've ever had. I'm not saying that to elicit a response. Like, I do, honestly, because one of the trips in Mexico, or a couple of the trips in Mexico, they've had that. And I think that beer is terrible. I love Tecate.
Yeah.
Tecate Light, I think, is just a terrible beer.
Well, I was going all in on Tecate Light.
Wow.
So, and it's like water. It was great. It was drinking just for quantity purposes. But I also mixed in Modelo Especial. I had Corona.
Now that's my jam.
What, Modelo?
Modelo, man.
Although my buddy Modelo Brian, tacos. My buddy Brian sent me that new Modelo Reserve that was aged in tequila barrels.
I've seen advertisements. I haven't tried it yet.
And now I get tequiza flashbacks when I see that kind of stuff. Hey. But he said
that, you know my story on that.
I know your story on tequiza, and I think we all got a tequiza story. But he actually said it holds up. He said you could actually taste the tequila barrel flavor to it. So I'm intrigued. I might try to find it this weekend.
Adam, what was it we had at Disney a few years ago when we were doing that tour around Epcot? It was a Canadian beer that was awful. Man. It was aged in something, but was it a Labatt's aged in bourbon barrels or something?
Yeah, it was something like that.
It was horrendous.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Well, now, speaking of Mexican beers, obviously Luchador is an Ovius family favorite, but my dad brought me a crowler, speaking of Bond Brothers, of their Mexican beer. Called, what was it? Si, pero no, which is very, very funny. It's like yes, but no. But I thought that was, you want to talk about an easy drinking Mexican beer? My goodness, I should have just drank it straight from the crowler. It was very, very good.
Yep, absolutely, good beer.
Now, how did you guys celebrate the Cinco de Mayo?
I was home.
Yeah.
Little thing about Fuquay, there's a place called the Fuquay Meat Market. Mm-hmm. It's basically a Mexican grocery store, and it is one of my favorite places in town. They have really excellent prices. Not a whole lot of people really know about them.
Is that the one across the catty corner across from the Mason Jar?
Yeah, it's down, okay. down the hill. Right. Yeah, down the hill, and they have like a lot of like what we'd consider exotic produce, like stuff you don't see in like a quote normal grocery store,
like real banana leaves, fresh.
They got all kinds of stuff, all kinds of different peppers, like chilies, and just really, really great meats. And they do this; they have these deals where you pick five for $19.99, five different packs of meat, and like. The other night, so Bridge and I went there Sunday afternoon. I got 3 boneless ribeyes and a pack of chicken breasts and a pack of
chorizo. Say chorizo.
Pastor. Already just the pork just marinating in that for $20. So I did the chicken and the pastor last night in the cast iron, and just fantastic. And they've got like tostada shells and like all sorts of stuff. So we had like an awesome meal here, and I made margaritas, you know, homemade sour mix, the whole nine, and we had a great time. Didn't have to wait any lines or get mad on social media.
Well, funny you bring that up. So I would say that Cinco de Mayo has the same vibe to me like going to a club on New Year's Eve. It's amateur hour.
That's yeah. True. Well, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, what I'm saying for amateur hour, you know, it goes beyond just the drinking portion of it. Because that's, I think you're right about St. Patrick's Day. That's peak amateur hour for a lot of people who just want to drink green beer, go on the streets, get plastered, right, and just, you know, fall asleep on a city curb like I saw in Charlotte at the ACC like tournament a couple of years ago, or Drunk Town in Raleigh, yeah. But what I'm talking about with Cinco de Mayo being amateur hour, it goes beyond just the beer aspect of it. I mean, the greatest trick that Constellation Brands or Tecate and others have pulled off in the past is turning an ultimately meaningless Mexican holiday into an American drinking holiday, right?
Yeah.
So good for you. I mean, that's just good business. But what I think is hilarious is people go, oh, I want Mexican food today. Man, Mexican restaurants are open 365. Like, it's not a thing that you just suddenly go, well, you know, we're in the, it's not like Thanksgiving where it's like, I'm going to have myself a roast turkey today. Nah, man, we're eating tacos like every Tuesday. We're going to Mexican joints for cheap margarita Saturdays. A lot, okay? Mm-hmm. This is kind of part of American culture. But here's my thing. No. You want to talk about who's got things. So I see on social media people complaining about these long wait times for...
2 hours.
2 hours for Mexican food. Okay, number one, jabroni. Going to a Mexican restaurant on Cinco de Mayo in a situation where there isn't a pandemic is a mistake. You're going to wait 2 hours to get into the restaurant in the first place. So that's number one. Number two, if I see you tweet, how could you be unprepared for Cinco de Mayo? I would flip that question back to you. How could you be this unprepared for Cinco de Mayo? You knew this was coming up on a Tuesday. You knew you were probably going to want Mexican food. You know taco kits are cheap at the grocery store, and you can buy a bunch of beer, hang out at home, and be good. You're telling me that you thought that you could just call up a Mexican restaurant around 5 o'clock in the afternoon and be like, hey, I'd like some chimichangas. And they were going to be like, yeah, come by in 30 minutes. The hell's wrong with you? And then the attitude, well, you could be unprepared. They're in a pandemic. They're on a limited staff with a takeout only model. What the hell do you think was going to happen? But I mean,
It's not like takeout is easier on the kitchen.
No.
But how often does Taco Tuesday fall on Cinco de Mayo and the holidays canceled by a Mexican beer called Corona?
I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, but y'all are Karens.
That's exactly what I said. Yes, exactly.
Gringo Karens.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to get that off. I just wanted to get that off my chest. It was bothering me on Cinco de Mayo. You know what?
Do you feel better?
You know what you could have done on Seis de Mayo? Bought some Mexican food. It's all good. Anyway, I'm done.
But by that time, it's clearance prices, right?
Right. There's going to be a run on sopapillas. It's true. It's just, it's like, you know, they're getting rid of them like the chicken sales at the farmer's market.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. It all comes down, well, obviously, we're all in this pandemic. I think we're all a little, like you and I said when we first got on the phone, when we were waiting for Wayne to come. Bottom line is, how you doing, Joe? I'm over it. Right? I mean, everybody's a little bit over it right now. I think everybody's getting a little stir crazy. People want some kind of normalcy. They want those tacos or whatever they wanted to order. I mean, I heard lines out the door wrapped around the building a couple times, stories from several different people from yesterday. I don't know. I'm one that I never go out on Cinco de Mayo. So yesterday
amateur,
was
it's amateur hour, man.
Yesterday was no different. I don't know. We actually had a taco truck in the neighborhood yesterday.
Nice.
I think Taco Boy was the one, and Mr. Pueblo was here Monday night. So I don't know. Maybe I just don't really. For me though, I usually prefer a taco truck rather than, I guess, carry out from a restaurant anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
And by the way, shout out to the original Flying Burrito because they've stuck with us on 99.9 The Fan. Yeah. And they are doing delivery within a certain area code, and their taco bar for four is an incredible value. So shout out to them. So that's what I did this weekend, guys. I did some yard work and I drank a lot of Mexican beer and I kept that low key buzz throughout the weekend. It was absolutely fantastic. And then it was back to reality.
I don't know what I did. What did we do? Every day is just kind of hazy. It's weird.
Well, I did. I tell you what I did do. Did we talk when I did the 19K from last week?
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about that.
Yeah, because you did it last week.
So
the day of the
So that week. So the weekend, I was still feeling the effects of that 19K.
Sure.
My shoulders were bothering me. I had blisters. I was like, I can't imagine ever doing that. But now, since I have not run since the last time I did it, I think it's finally catching up to me and I'm feeling like a slob and I'm going to have to go back out there and run. Mm. So I think that's probably what a lot of us are feeling. It's like just kind of keeping that momentum of doing stuff for work, you know, managing kids at home, managing the job. Trying to keep yourself somewhat sane by not looking at social media all day and all the people who are arguing about everything. Although, you know, there is a bit of news, and we can kind of close on this before we say hello to Jay and Jeremy Bond from Bond Brothers. You know, Governor Roy Cooper did announce the next phase of the stay-at-home order that's going to go into effect on Friday, May 8th. We're recording this on a Wednesday night, but Friday, May 8th, phase one goes into effect. I'm not quite sure if Spider-Man shows up in this phase or we're going to have to wait for phase two of the stay-at-home order to see where the Avengers show up, but we'll see what happens with that.
So no Batman?
No Batman in this phase. No, but they're going to... So essentially, what we're going to see this weekend, I'm going to find fascinating. A lot more... I think a lot of people are going to be a lot more open about the fact that they're doing small gatherings with their neighbors, right?
Yeah.
I think that with the new order that you can get into groups of 10 or less, you know, outside... I'm telling you right now, people have already been doing that, but I think they've been doing it in a way that they don't overly promote it on social media. But I bet you this weekend, starting Friday night, we're going to see a lot of neighborhood cul-de-sac gatherings, you know, some people in a front yard all hanging around a fire pit or something like that, and showing how social they are, even though low-key, we've been doing that already.
Can I speak for yourself? I've been really good.
Sure, Wayne.
Wayne's been social distance fighting.
Man, I haven't been in a fight in 2+3 years, man. Come on, give me a break.
It's funny because like my neighborhood is really funny. They did this beer mile Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
When I was coming home from work at like 6:30, there were probably 30 people all in what felt like a blob. But they had all just finished running and then they were kind of keeping their distance. But I think this weather is it's one of those things where everybody's like, hey, we've been around each other in some form or fashion the whole time. We haven't really left and it's a nice day out and we're going to enjoy some time together. But I like for all that to say, I think it started with a lot of my neighbors last week.
Yeah, I think I'm going to actually stay in more this weekend than I probably have in the previous weeks because there's going to be a lot more idiots out. So I think I'll just like sit on my back porch and do what I did last week. I did some yard work and drank quite a bit of Mason jar of beer. And I have a question for you, Adam, because I'm confused on something. And I think you cleared, I think you covered this last week or the week before.
Okay.
But when I ordered Star of the South and I pick my beer up and I get home and it's light.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it was Star of the South, though.
Here's the deal. We're in a pandemic.
you said you had, you had a lot of cans, but.
Yeah. So we had, still do, we had a shipment of light cans several months back that came to us incorrect. The labels were miscut. And there was no QA. They sent us two pallets of these cans and we're like, we can't use these. They look like garbage. So they sent us new cans. We held on to those cans, meaning to throw them away, but it was like, all right, well, that's a lot of cans to throw away all at once. We blah, blah, blah. We never did it. Thankfully, we never did it because when this all happened and all of this new draft beer that we had three beers come out within 2 weeks for Springfest, all on draft. So when this all happened, we start thinking, all right, how can we get stuff into package? And we had all these cans. I'm like, look, let's throw some of this beer in these cans. So we did like 100 cases of Star of the South.
Well, maybe take a Sharpie and put an X on it or something. Cause
It's on the bottom. Oh, and my guys are supposed to be putting stickers on the red pack techs. The pack techs are the things that keep them together.
I think I still got it, but hey, I don't know. I thought I remembered you saying that. So
yeah. Any ordinary time, we wouldn't do that.
That's really none of my concern. Kelly just wants to know when she can try the beer.
Star?
Yeah. Oh, I've got one in the fridge.
Why don't you? Here's the deal. Talk to that Brownlow lady. Because she popped down to the brewery on Saturday.
Oh, she did?
No heads up, nothing. I found out on social media.
Oh, I didn't know about this. I'm just waiting for it to show up to the Wegman.
I messaged her. I'm like, I wish I'd known you guys were coming. Been nice to say hi. They went down and got some of the Sunset, the Peach Tea Summer Shandy.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
What'd you think? You said you're not a shandy guy, but you wanted to try it anyway.
I'm still not.
All right, well.
I mean, that's no kick on your beer, man, but I'm still not. Yes.
Throw it in
might
there.
Not be for everybody.
That's funny. Sold, that's funny. That wasn't your attitude when I said the light wasn't for me.
Well, yeah.
Now suddenly Adam's understanding.
Well,
I said I don't need.
You drink Tecate Light, bro. You should drink
every beer. I need you to like one of my beers. That's it.
Yeah, you drink Tecate Light. You could drink anything that says light.
That's a good point.
But I don't drink Shandies, and
one thing that we're gonna do. Gilio brought this up to me because he's convinced that
Mexican beers taste alike.
He can't tell the difference between any beer. It's like even with things like. I can't tell the difference between Miller Lite, Coors Light, Bud Light. I'm like, you're insane.
I happened to be listening at that time, and it was dry. It was all I could do to not.
What does he drink?
Not call in.
He drinks. He drinks Natty Light, or he drinks Natterdays.
That's why I can't tell anything.
He drinks Natterdays, and he puts Tito's vodka in the Natterdays.
Oh my
gosh. His taste buds are shot.
So he drinks two things that are crap.
Well, yes. So the point here is
Natterdays and Tito's.
Hey man,
right?
So I forgot he had like a name for it. I told him I'm like
quarantini.
It's like I said that I can tell the difference between the Mexican beers. I can tell the difference between a Corona, a Modelo, and a Dos Equis. That's possible for me. He's like, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell the difference between Miller Lite, Coors Light, and Bud Light. I'm like, you're insane. I know which light beers are which. They all have a distinctive taste to them. He's like, all right, well, we're going to prove that. You know, we're gonna do a blind taste test of these beers. I'm like, fine, I'll be able to tell you which ones are which. I've had enough of those beers. His taste buds were shot. That's what it was.
I couldn't believe it. when he said because he and Rand were both chiming in on that about Dos Equis, the lager or the amber. Well, I get it. They're both lagers, but one's an amber lager and one's just regular. But like. When he started on the Bud Light thing, that was too much for me. I was like, man, what is happening here?
And speaking of light beers, one more thing before we say goodbye. This is another weird byproduct of the pandemic. There's a lot of Storm Brew that was supposed to be sold at PNC Arena. towards the end of the season and then a potential playoff run. So there's a lot of Storm Brew sitting at PNC Arena unsold. So this weekend on Saturday, you can find more information on their website, on the Carolina Hurricanes website, but they're going to be selling beer at discount prices. Think of this as the chicken sales that you've been seeing at the farmer's market and things like that. So if you want to get up on that Storm Brew, go get you some for the cheap.
It's like Bud Light pricing for a case.
Like, oh, it's wild. $15 for a case. That's insane.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So go get you some. Yeah. Reminder, you can listen to the 919 Beer Podcast, wherever you get your podcast, along with the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. We have a bunch of great podcasts out there, including a coronavirus daily update. All facts, no hype, just straight information related to things that are happening in Wake County and the surrounding areas, along with the rest of the state of North Carolina. So be sure to check that out. Our guest today on the 919 Beer Podcast, Jay and Jeremy Bond Brothers in Cary. They're doing two very, very cool things. One, a physical drive-up at their Cary location where they'll bring in other breweries and sell on a Saturday. And then they're also implementing a new app that will allow for local breweries to be able to deliver to their customers in a contactless way. It's all pretty neat. And let's actually start with the physical location first, Jay. Let's kind of get with the setup of how it's working at the Bond Brothers location in Cary, where you're bringing in other people. It's almost like a beer market on a Saturday. How can people take advantage of that?
So basically each week, usually on Sunday or Monday, we invite 4 to 5 of our friends, breweries, to represent at the, what we call it, the local brew drive-thru. Mm-hmm. And we just basically take their product, take their beer, and sell it for them. And they get all the money from that as if they were selling it themselves. And we've had pretty significant success so far with it. And we're all booked up through the rest of this month.
Got a special Mother's Day.
Special Mother's Day one coming this Saturday, where we actually even have some other vendors being represented. We've got our local flower shop, Chocolate Smiles, and
Soy Candle,
Brandy Soy Candles. It's just a way kind of, we thought there's a lot of good breweries out there that are maybe kind of a little bit remote, or maybe they're understaffed and they can't really handle the logistics of drive-throughs or deliveries. So we have the staff and the means, and our location is such where we can do it pretty easily. So we're like, why not do that? I mean, they would do it for us if they could, you know? So we're just doing what we could and just trying to get people beer.
And you've had quite a few of those, because I've driven through a couple of times, but it seems like every time I get into the game a little bit late, because I'll go up there and I want to get some of the other breweries' beers. Obviously I'm buying some of yours, but almost every time I go in there, it's sold out. So you obviously are doing a really good job there.
Yeah. That kind of took me by surprise. I started releasing things early. Originally I did it closer to the Saturday date, but I released it early and everything is, majority of stuff is selling out. It's crazy.
Yeah. Before Saturday, it's already gone. So, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking as someone who's benefited from this, I think it's a very selfless thing that you guys are doing. I know everybody who's done it is very appreciative of it. And it's incredibly generous for you guys to do that, for us to be allowed to use your resources basically to sell our product. Not everybody has those means, and it's pretty remarkable that you guys are doing that. And it's also really cool for the consumers, because like Wayne said, you want to go there and get a bunch of different stuff. And like every week you guys are having different breweries in, and it's given folks a chance just to try so much new stuff.
Yeah, it's
different stuff.
Yeah, even the employees love it. They, you know, they,
yeah, they're like, they who's coming this Saturday? I'm placing an order.
Yeah, so they
yeah,
all kinds of beer.
Yeah, we love doing it. I mean, I want to somehow try to continue to do it. I think it's just a cool thing, and it's this great way just to sort of spread the love and get people into craft beer.
Now, you guys are taking this a next step with an app. You're going to be implementing this Drive Brew, and correct, this is going to be a delivery pickup app that gives local small businesses a way to reach a wider range of consumers, especially as everything kind of moves to online ordering and delivery. So who is eligible to work with y'all and Drive Brew, and what are the logistics of somebody who wants to order on this app and how quickly they can get some beer?
Very good questions. So there's basically three components to the app. There's a consumer side, obviously, where you would download the app and you would have access to the various stores that are members of Drive Brew. What's cool about this app is that it only populates breweries that are within your range of your phone or where you're located. So you're not going to go on this app and see a barrage of a million things and then get to check out and realize, oh, crap, I can't get this.
Right.
It's going to be specific to your neighborhood. It's basically, we wanted to focus on the community and we wanted to focus on local. So we wanted people to, like we're discovering with doing this local brew drive-through thing is even our neighbors, some people don't even know they're out there, you know, and it just takes one time for somebody to try their beer. And then they're like,
they're fans of beer.
So it's just a matter of like, how can we get smaller breweries that don't have the means, don't have the staff, don't have the advertising? How can we get that good product out to the masses in a way that will benefit them solely? You know, we want, like, the whole point of this app too is to really, really work for the breweries and the bottle shops. We're not in it for money necessarily. Obviously you always want to make a little bit of money to pay for things, but our true intention with this app is to build community and to promote the small little guy, you know?
So second component.
Yeah. So that's the consumer side. Then you've got a second component to the app. It's three, like I said, three. There's the second one is the store side. So bottle shops and breweries would have their own individualized store on this app. We would do all the onboarding. Everything would have continuity, would look real nice and sharp. You just basically click a store, pop stuff into your cart. Then what happens is that order goes to the bottle shop or the brewery. They fulfill the order. Then they ping a delivery driver. And then basically, that's the third component of the app. So the delivery driver that is within range, or drivers, hopefully. The reason I wanted to talk to you guys too is because we're trying to hire as many drivers as we can. Okay. Because in order for this to work, we've got to have a surplus of drivers. And as you know, these, you know, rideshare services are non-existent right now. I mean, people aren't traveling together in cars, so it's a means to another means to give back and to create jobs. So, so the third component, the driver gets pinged, and whoever accepts that order first gets it. They go to the brewery, they grab it, and they deliver it. So you could either do curbside pickup, and that's really up to any brewery or bottle shop, whether they want to do that or they want to just do delivery. It's all up to them. But if they do curbside pickup, then there's a very minimal fee, maybe of like a dollar or something like that. We're still working out the logistics of payment, but it just gives people, like I said, that maybe have a staff of two or three, the ability to reach a much wider audience.
Obviously, you guys have had some success with your drive-through and with your delivery. And Adam, I know you've been delivering quite a bit of beer as well. You know, in looking at this and what you guys are doing, I guess it follows a model more of like the Instacart, maybe. You know, beer delivery's been around for a while.
Yeah.
I think what you're trying to do is a little different than anybody else and what they've done. But obviously you think this is something that's going to be not just for the next 6 or 8 weeks. You obviously have a long-term vision here to think this is something that could work long-term. I would think that you're looking down the road.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we've I mean,
we're working with the company.
Yeah, we just had a call this morning. We're working with a local company that actually is going, hopefully we'll be joining forces, and they've developed this contactless age verification process. So it basically would be part of the app, part integrated into DriveBrew. So you basically, this one-time onboarding process of your information, so we can verify that you are in fact of legal age. And there's very specific parameters in how you can do that. But I won't go into detail about that. And then once you're onboarded, you're done. You're in the system. You're in a secure, you know,
database.
And basically what happens is the driver shows up with their phone and they get within 3 meters of that person and their phone is pinged and it will say, yes, this is in fact that person. And I probably the first question you would ask is how do you prevent somebody from just taking somebody's phone? But the concept behind it is you would basically either through a fingerprint or a scan, facial scan.
Yeah.
So it'd be facial recognition. And this is all, obviously there's, this technology exists. They do it in the financial sector when people are making financial transactions and things like that. It's new to the age verification, but it's there and it's at the ready. And I think we've kind of hit it at the right time, I guess. And just got lucky to find another group that's working on a similar project that we can join forces with.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're pioneering certainly on some of the technology side of it, because like I actually had some wine delivered today that I ordered from out of state, from New York. And luckily I was around the house today because I had to do a webinar for some continuing education. So, you know, the FedEx driver comes up and he has to get a signature because you have to verify that age. There has to be an adult home. They can't just leave it. And it doesn't necessarily have to be me, but it has to be someone over 21 years of age at the house to receive it.
Correct.
So that's pretty cool technology that you've got there. So, in the email you sent over, you discussed fees a little bit. I'm not sure if you want to talk about that now or what it was going to cost, each location to get on board. But in looking at what you guys, if you truly stay with what you sent over, I think it's very reasonable for what a retail location would have to pay to get on board.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to try to keep it as low as possible. So our intention right now, obviously we have to crunch the numbers a little bit more, but our intention is to almost make it free for the bottle shop or brewery. You'd maybe pay a yearly membership that would be very small, maybe $10 a month at most. And then
the consumer would basically.
Yeah, so the consumer pays for the convenience of being able to get stuff delivered, not the bottle shop. They don't take the hit. The brewery doesn't take the hit. It's like if you want stuff delivered, you want the convenience of 45 minutes, stuff, cold beer at your door in 45 minutes, then you pay it, you know, a little bit. We're going to try to keep it as obviously as low as possible because our intention is to really promote and grow the community and promote like the small guy. I'm just tired of these big corporations and big companies, AB InBev, and you know them all very well. Just strong arming everybody. So we're trying to do what we can to get the good stuff out to the masses.
So one thing that I just thought about was, your delivery drivers, alcohol cannot be served to anyone under the influence. So the 45 minute delivery rule is great, but what if that's that person that's been drinking all day and he's too intoxicated to get in the vehicle and drive? So he orders it, but you also can't serve an intoxicated person. Adam and I know this because of Beer Kana.
Oh, yes.
So how are you going to deal with that aspect of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So right now, even our delivery drivers, they have to take an online test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, it's their discretion. If they don't feel comfortable, if they feel as though the individual is intoxicated, it's totally up to them whether they want to actually deliver it.
Yeah, so they will be trained to recognize this, just like bartenders are. And they will be certified, and they'll have a printed certification through this online system. The other thing, it kind of actually was good you mentioned that, is that with this age verification thing, it takes the liability off of the bottle shop and off of the brewery. So as it is right now with some of these other programs, you have to take a picture of their ID, you have to get their signature, you have to do all these things. You don't know who's delivering that product. You don't know who's capturing that signature, who's capturing that ID. So we want to build everything on the back end in a secure format to where it takes the liability off of the bottle shop, takes the liability off of the brewery. And once you are a member of this age verification program, the bottle shop and brewery is no longer going to be held responsible if something like you just said were to happen. We don't anticipate it to happen, but you know, things do happen.
Sure.
So that's one way we're kind of trying to, you know, we're trying to figure it out. But I think it's definitely viable, and definitely we're almost there.
As far as the consumer's concerned, they're going to get on this app. What is like the range as far as distance from delivery location that they can choose from?
So right now we're thinking probably 15 to 20 miles, but I think we're going to have to develop. It's going to be at the discretion of, because some breweries are definitely further out than others.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to figure out the right algorithm that will work to be able to, you know, benefit people that are out in the, you know, the
rural areas.
And yeah, rural.
I'm Fuquay.
Yeah, Fuquay. You know what I mean? So, and we'll have to figure out a good, we're still working on the pricing model, but you know, you don't want to order beer from somebody and pay, you know, an exorbitant amount of money to have it delivered to your house. So we'll figure something out that's going to work. And it's going to benefit everybody.
And just a follow-up on that, if someone wants to get on there and order from a brewery that doesn't distribute to stores, but then also order from a bottle shop or another brewery, is that going to be on the same order, or are they all separate orders, or orders based on just individual location?
So the way we wanted to not affect bottle shops was to incorporate them. So like basically, if you were to place an order for a brewery, it would have to be one brewery at a time. If you want multiple beers from different breweries, the benefit is, hey, we have bottle shops on this app as well. You can get multiple beers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By default, the app, basically, if you try to order from more than one brewery, it'll tell you can't.
Sure. So that makes sense. I mean, that's kind of what I figured the answer would be. I just trying to clarify, but you can go in there and order as many different times as you want.
Yeah, of course. And then we didn't want to be a bottle shop. We wanted to benefit bottle shops. So
sure.
that was kind of like our way to figure out how can we benefit bottle shops? Yeah, well, you want to do multiple orders, then you got to order from a bottle shop. But if you got a favorite brewery you want to order from every week, order from that brewery every week, you know?
Well, no, I guess I just want to make sure I'm understanding. What I'm saying is if I want to order from two or three different breweries that don't distribute to bottle shops,
yes,
I can still do two or three separate orders in addition to maybe a bottle shop order for other stuff that is more readily available.
Correct. But okay. We're even toying with the idea of, we've had discussions about doing, you know, special collaborations similar to the local brew drive-through, where people that don't distribute aren't in bottle shops. Maybe once a week or once a month we do, hey, these four breweries are joining forces. This is our inventory.
Gotcha.
Got, place your order.
Okay. That makes sense.
We just don't want to we don't want to hurt bottle shops. So I want to, our intention is to kind of keep that limited and
sure.
to really promote both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So I'm curious, you are, look, this stay-at-home order has affected everybody differently, but it seems based on this conversation, based on what you guys are doing with the physical drive-through at Bond Brothers on Saturdays, working with other breweries, that you have been able to manage this in a different kind of way. What have you guys done in order to kind of stay in a position where you can still make moves like this? Because not everybody has the ability to kind of make the kind of moves that you're doing right now.
Yeah. You know, that again, that's another good question.
You could just tell me, actually, we don't. We're just sticking our necks out for everybody else. And that would be totally acceptable, too.
You know, I think we're at heart, Jeremy and I are just, we're just, we love to work. We mm-hmm. love to just get our hands dirty and just get in it and do it and love to problem solve. And I guess a little bit of, you know, lack of sleep and, you know, sweat and tears and whatever. You know, it's just we're in a situation. I mean, obviously that's just, it's unprecedented. This is, to me, in my mind, every time I wake up in the morning, I'm just like, is this real? Are we in this? Am I like dreaming this?
Right.
No, in fact, you're not. So you just need to step up and figure things out and problem solve. And it's tragic and it's terrible that this is happening, but it's also, you know, you can't just sit there and accept it, and we're not accepting it, and just moving on and trying to, you know,
just do whatever we can.
It's like, what I realized from this whole situation is that, you know, it's like, it's hard to explain, but like, for me, almost like kind of gave me sort of this clarity, about just life in general. You know, I don't know if you guys think about that. I mean, you have to in a situation like this, I would imagine. But, you know, it's ultimately, in my opinion, about, you know, life is about joy and living a good life and feeling good about what you're doing. And I've realized that exponentially when everything was turned off and shut down. And all you have left is your family, your friends, you know, and the joys in life. And so it's like, you know, not that nothing else matters, mm-hmm. but
pretty much you're right though.
Yeah. But what really matters in life is like joy and being there for people, your community, your environment that you live in, your family, your friends. I mean, none of that other stuff it just goes away in literally a flip of a switch. It's gone. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know. It just brought so much clarity to me and my brother, I think. And, you know, I just want to leave this world kind of with, you know, just knowing that I've done some good, you know, for other people. I get so much satisfaction and so much joy out of helping other people. And I think Jeremy does too. And I think a lot of people do. And that's what I've noticed a lot with this whole situation is that people are reaching out. People are showing love. People are supporting. People are coming out. People are sending us messages.
Especially in the craft beer industry.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the craft beer industry is ridiculous. Like, everybody's so cool and so supportive. Like, I've never – yeah, I mean, it's just been unbelievable to me. You know, of course
you're going to see – So you guys aren't the ones who dropped a bunch of money in Asheville then? Is that – I'm just trying to figure out who that anonymous donor was. Do we know?
We don't know.
Okay, it wasn't you. We're just trying to clarify that, right?
No.
Okay. All right.
Big money, though.
Yeah.
Big money.
big money there. No, but I totally get what you're saying because everybody's put in a position of being disrupted. And how do you continue to kind of do what you do, but also help others in what you do? And I know it sounds kind of silly, but, you know, we're still doing the podcast because it's a little bit of normalcy for people. And it's also a good way for people to keep up with what their favorite breweries are doing during this time or what you guys are doing right now, trying to get the word out for this new app. which has me curious. Like, I don't even think we've talked about a website for this yet. I mean, if you are a brewery that wants to check this out, or if you're a somebody who's been a displaced driver looking for another side gig to kind of help, you know, make things work a little bit, what mm-hmm. what is the website for the app right now?
So right now, you can go to drivebrewjobs.com.
Okay.
Our first initial launch is basically to continue to get as many drivers on board as we can. So that's the intention with the drivebrewjobs.com. Eventually, obviously, it'll be drivebrew.com. We have the app in place and we're beta testing right now. We've got a few bottle shops and breweries and a couple delivery guys that we're working with to sort of test it out and, you know, figure out if there's any problems. But I guess, like I said earlier, the only way this thing will work is if we get enough drivers to deliver the goods.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks for the update on what you guys are doing and the actual physical drive through as well. And obviously, you guys are still making beer. You're not dropping any special like pandemic collabs at this point, are you?
No pandemic collabs, but we do have a couple beers coming out.
Yeah, our brewers have been working hard back there. I mean, production really hasn't stopped for them. Mm-hmm. We have a fruited sour coming out.
Okay. And
a bottle of wine coming out. So. Stay tuned for those.
All right. We'll be on the lookout for those beers as well. Bond Brothers in Cary. Jay, Jeremy, appreciate it, man. It's awesome what you guys are doing. And hopefully we can catch up in a couple of weeks when this gets off the ground to see how things are going and if just put another call out for drivers and breweries and things like that.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Go to drivebrewjobs.com.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Again, big thanks to Jay and Jeremy Bond of Bond Brothers. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the 919 Beer Podcast. You can listen to previous episodes of the podcast wherever you get your podcast. We've had a lot of cool interviews so far, even though circumstances are a little bit different with the stay-at-home orders and doing these podcasts from remote locations. So thanks for your continued listenership. And it's all part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. We've got a bunch of other great podcasts you can find out there, including a coronavirus daily update. No hyperbole, just facts, information of how coronavirus is affecting not just Wake County, but all of North Carolina. So definitely check that out. We will see you all next week.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.